Hello, and welcome to Postcards from a Soul and Her Human. I'm the human, Gina. Thank you, everyone out there, for being here with me. I appreciate it very much. I'm here to report something extraordinary again. I'm having the most extraordinary time, honestly, of this whole entire experience, which is spanning almost 3 years now, since I became aware of my ethereal self, let's put it that way, or I started to experience my spiritual awakening, which I have talked about throughout this podcast and through everything I write. And I was sitting at my back window, as I do most mornings, drinking my tea and allowing whatever to come up, you know, whatever that wants to come up into my awareness. And I was thinking about everything that's happened the last week or so, and I was going to wait another week before I started to talk about it. But as I sat there this morning, I just had an overwhelming feeling, and I could feel it like an energy surge in my body that just lifted me off my chair and sat me in front of my microphone. So here I am. I rarely prepare for these episodes because I want them to be what I call a free thought monologue, and just allow whatever comes through me to come out. And this has really proven to be a formula that's worked really well for me, and one I've really grown to trust. And sometimes I don't know how I'm going to articulate what I experienced, but I'm going to give it a go. I recorded an episode last Saturday. It is the following Sunday, April 21st, 2024. And I reported on an epiphany that I had about co-creation. And I won't repeat everything. You can go back and listen to the episode. It is called DNA Awakening and Co-Creation. And that podcast episode was spawned from an article that I was compelled to write, that I have entitled Awakening of the Goddess, Co-Creation and Awakening of the DNA, or something like that, that I'm still working on. I finished the episode on Saturday, and I finished the article the following Monday, which was a little less than a week ago. Tomorrow it'll be a week. I finished the article, and I got up from my desk and I said, it's finished and it feels so amazing. The podcast episode is done. And this subject matter was, as far as I knew, was done. But what I didn't realize at the time and during the recording of the last episode, DNA Awakening and Co-Creation, I experienced what I categorized as an energy surge in my body. And I do experience this often. I've described during many of my episodes the feelings and the sensations of energy in my body. I did an episode called Ascension Chaos that really captured the highlight of the of how powerful these sensations were. And I ended up passing out, and I had all kinds of other things where I almost called the doctor going on. They were so powerful, I guess is the only word I can use to describe. They were physical sensations of my energy moving in my body, is the only way I can describe it. And this has happened throughout this whole last 3 years, which is the time frame since my energetic breakdown, where I ended up in the hospital that I described in the last episode again, to now, which is nearly 3 years. It'll be 3 years at the end of June. So I've experienced many of these energetic sensations in my body, and I've described them as well as I could. So during the last episode, just as I started to tell the story of what was going on with that ended with the epiphany that I had about co-creation, I felt a surge of energy in my body, and it was so powerful, I commented on it on the microphone. And I said something like, oh, I can feel the energy in my body reminding me of how I felt at that time, which I was describing. And this is something I've learned to do from my soul family, is I was always encouraged to, when you feel a certain way or you get some sort of sensation, what are you thinking about? Because it's probably related to that. If you see a symbol in nature, something that makes you think of something, feel a certain way, what were you thinking about? It's probably attached to that. And this was all part of my training to trust my intuitive mechanism. So I had this energetic surge in my body that I equated to or attached to what I was speaking about, which was I was started to discuss or tell the story of my energetic breakdown. And the energy that I was in during that breakdown was also very powerful. It basically shut my energy off. And this surge of energy that I experienced while I was talking about it was it felt that powerful. Although I didn't feel shut down, I felt like there was an energy inside of me that was going to burst out of me. It had just collected I'm not going to describe this accurately. I really have been trying to think about a way to say this that would click in your mind or resonate, that you can understand what I'm saying. It felt like somebody was blowing up a balloon. My insides were a balloon, and the pressure in my body was just so intense. It felt like it had to come out somewhere. And it just kept building. And throughout the entire episode, I noticed this energy with me. It wasn't exhausting as I have experienced before. It was not a drain or a drag. It was just a presence. Maybe that's the right way to put it. It was a presence in my body that I had not felt before. And when I finished the episode, I felt really good. I was excited. As I can usually feel, I feel somewhat elated afterwards, and it feels like something that I completed. And I left my office and I went downstairs, and sometimes I feel like I need to run off the energy that I still have. So I went outside and did some yard work and felt like I could run this energy off. And by the time I got back in the house, I was just exhausted. And I realized, okay, that's expected. It's fine. A lot of times I become exhausted. It's an exercise that requires all of me, my energy, my heart, my mind, my voice. It encompasses everything that I am when I do an episode and when I write. So if you ever watched Tyler Henry on the Medium show that he has, he sweats profusely when he reads, and he has to nap sometimes for 4 hours after he does a reading. It's something like that. It takes a lot out of you. So I lay down on the couch and I just rested, and I just felt this deep exhaustion in my body. And I'm like, okay, this is not unusual. The evening wore on. I had my dinner. I did whatever I did. And I ended up kind of staying close to my couch. I rested the rest of the evening. And the next day was a Sunday. And I laid in bed longer than usual. And I just, the entire day, I was exhausted. And that is where it became unusual. Usually by the next day, I'm back to my normal, whatever it is, energy level. And I was feeling very dragged down, very exhausted. And so much so that by the time I left the house that afternoon, which I try to do every day, even when I'm not feeling up to it, and go take a walk, because being outside is always a remedy for me. I take a walk in a wooded area near a pond. I spend time near the pond. I lean on the trees. It's a spiritual experience as well. I've come to understand that nature is a spiritual experience. And whenever I step outside of my home and into nature, even just my yard, it is a very satiating time. And I consider it a communion with my brethren, my brothers and sisters who are the trees and nature and, of course, Mother Earth and all that, the elements and everything. So I took a walk Sunday afternoon, and as I was walking, I started to feel like maybe I had done something wrong. And this is unusual lately, because I have such clarity in my body with my soul, my intuition. These days, I don't really ever doubt much that I feel or think. So this was unusual. I'm walking and I'm starting to feel like, oh, maybe I did something wrong. And what I started to feel like was maybe I divulged too much something that I did in the last episode that I had not done before. And I did, it was a remarkable thing that I did recognize as I was doing it, kind of wondering, what are you doing? I was talking about the, everything that was foretold to me through the tarot messages and other mediums about my destined future. And I talked about it in a detail I've never have before. I may have mentioned elements of it in the past, but I've never talked about it. I've never said the name of my twin flame. I've never talked about the fact that I would be moving to New Zealand and I have these other experiences. I was very specific. And I felt comfortable doing it because when I wrote the article that I was still working on, I had divulged it all in the article. And I even said to myself afterwards, what are you doing? This is personal. This is not something we talk about. And I don't know why I really haven't talked about it. It just felt like something that I was to keep close to the vest, even though no one told me to. And probably because what I said, it just sounds so fantastic that it, why throw that element in there and making it hard for people to believe in what I'm saying when they think I'm cuckoo. So I think there's a lot of reasons why I didn't really talk about it. And I think that I had to go through a process of really embracing all of it as well. So it took some time for me to feel comfortable doing that. But in the article that I wrote and was writing as I did the last episode, I had laid it all out and more. I talked about myself as a star seed and how I'm here from another star system to help the planet. I mean, it all just poured out of me and I was not planning to write about that at all. But this is also something I've learned about this intuitive channel is if I sit down to write and my fingers do something and the paper says something I didn't intend to say, that is basically channeling. And I've never experienced formal channeling before, but I know a lot of what I say and a lot of what I write is channeled information. And it's probably from me, my higher self, who is more aware and who has a perspective above everything in my life, including all the way to the very end, that she speaks through me. And so do other entities and beings, I believe. But I wrote this article and I did it in quick succession, which is not normal either. And I looked at it and I said, what are you doing? You're writing things in here that you'd never spoken about. And then I realized that this is what's meant to be. I was nearly compelled to do it. So I thought it must be what I'm meant to do. It's time for me to divulge this part of my journey for whatever reason, and to just trust it. So I did. And when I spoke on my episode, I did the same thing. I just divulged a lot of information about what was foretold to me as part of my destined future, part of my destiny in this lifetime. And part of my destiny, my soul, is to find true love. She wants to experience that. She wants to move back to what she considers her homeland, which is New Zealand, which has been described as an island in the middle of nowhere. And, it's funny because I've noticed so many things in my energy that make me feel like this place, this island in the middle of nowhere, is going to be where I feel most comfortable. My sensitivity to climate has changed dramatically over the last few years, and remarkably, in the last week, I have a sensitivity to cold and to heat. So much so that it was 75 degrees. I'm sorry, it reached 77 degrees last week here in the Midwest, which is an unusually warm day this early in the spring. And I was suffering. I couldn't, my hands were really hot. I could not get cool. I shouldn't say suffering. I don't mean to sound dramatic. It was uncomfortable. And that evening, though, it cooled way down into the 50s, and I slept with the window open and freezing, and it was wonderful. Not freezing, but cool. And it was really wonderful. And I also noticed the same with extreme cold. If it goes under 40 degrees, I don't want to be outside where I normally would walk, take my walks in 30 degrees without thinking twice about it. But now I bundle up like in layer upon layer and I'm still very cold. So I avoid going out to take my walks unless it's 44, 45 degrees. Things like that. I also have noticed my sensitivity to food has really, and I'm going to call it evolved. I'm very particular about what I'll eat. And I've talked about this before too. My palate has changed completely. And I'm so aware now of the vibrational quality of the food that I eat, that I prepare mostly everything that I eat myself. which is something I never did before, ever. I was the eat out girl. I didn't like to cook. I don't like to cook. I don't think I do, but I enjoy it now. It's the weirdest thing. But it's simple ingredient food, and I know who's making it, and I'm joyful as I'm cooking. And I have mentioned this before, that the quality of your food has a lot to do with, or everything to do with, how the food was cultivated and who prepared it. That the vibrational frequency of that being or that animal or the plant is greatly impacted by the way it is treated, just like we are. Everything is a living organism, anything with a molecular structure. And that includes water. And I believe the air we breathe and the food we eat, everything. So if I am eating in a place where I don't know where the food was sourced and I don't know who prepared it for me, excuse me, I feel, and this is going to sound weird to you, I feel the difference in the food, the way it tastes, the way I feel after I eat it. So this has really pushed me to cook for myself almost exclusively, although I still go out once a week. And I try to eat as healthy as I can in a place that I feel good about. So my body has been preparing throughout these changes in my vibrational frequency and this ascension that I've been going through because it's becoming less dense. And that's what happens. The body density in the 3D or the lower vibrational quality of our lowest, I keep saying low, I don't mean to make it sound worse than where I am now. It's just a different frequency that I existed in the versions of myself who were still in her learning phase, That vibrational quality required a density in my body that I can hold on to these emotions and the pain and the disillusionment that I needed to feel in order to have the experience that my soul wanted in the lower realms of this existence, of this lifetime. I needed to be in a denser energy. My body was physically denser. My molecular structure was more dense. As you ascend out of your lower self or your darkness period or your learning phase, your body actually starts to lose its density as it ascends energetically. The physical body actually loses its density. And what starts to happen, and I've been told this over many months of me asking questions and getting answered, is the sunlight is now become more of a nourishment than my food. Or I shouldn't say more. It's a nourishing element, which it is for everybody, but more so in this lighter crystalline body. The energy has changed. The quality of the energy has changed. The molecular structure of the physicality of my body has been changed. Excuse me. My gosh. And I believe that is also a part of it. I'm always clearing my throat. This, I believe, is another element of the molecular changes that are going on in my body. I've noticed this over the last several weeks that I'm clearing my throat all the time, that I feel this, like, it's in the core of my physical body. I feel this feng shui going on, like whatever's in my body that's not needed, that is no longer aligned with or on the same frequency as this energy in my body, it just expels it out of my body. This I was very aware of at an emotional level. I did an article and a podcast about the emotional baggage handler and how my emotional reactions to my feelings were the rocket fuel or the vehicle that purged these feelings and this embedded debris out of my body. This is another level of that. This is my body purging parts of it or elements of it that are disruptive to or not aligned with this new energetic frequency or quality of my energy, my soul. And the physical body is becoming less dense. So because it's becoming less dense, and I was told this was going to happen way back more than a year ago before I fainted in my daughter's hospital room, that I would become more sensitive to stimuli of all kinds, including temperature. So when I think about all that's happening to my body over the last 3 years, and remarkably in the last week, which I'll get to, I can see why New Zealand is the place my soul wants to go. as I researched this place, which was described to me as an island in the middle of nowhere, it has more sheep than people. And for someone like me, and I know there are a lot of people who are empathetic or empaths, a lot of people is disruptive. I don't go into crowded places. Loud noises are disruptive. It's almost like the feeling center is so dramatically expanded. It's almost like nerve endings in my body, and they're impacted by loud noises and crowded places and too much going on. And this has always been the way throughout my life, but now it's just super accentuated. And so the climate in New Zealand, in the area that I checked, the yearly temperature range is 49 degrees to 72 degrees. I mean, you think about somebody who's sensitive to cold and heat, that's the ideal climate. It's also an amalgamation of every land and seascape all over the world in one place, which is something that has always been a draw for me. I'm always, if you look at my social media, I follow countries, not people. I follow Scotland and Iceland and Ireland and New Zealand because the lands and seascapes are so breathtaking and beautiful. Another thing my soul wants, and I've talked about at length, is wanting to live under the stars. And in New Zealand, you can go to dark sky communities, and where I live in the Midwest, there really isn't one. There is a couple of places that I could go, but if there's cloud cover, which is a large percentage of our year here, it doesn't matter how clear it is if you can't see them. So, or how bright the stars are in a dark area. If it's cloudy, you can't see them. So I don't venture to these places because the chances are pretty good I'm not going to be able to have the experience I want. I could go out west, which is a very long way from where I am, and do that, but that's just not in the cards right now. So I've always wanted to live in a place where I could look up and see the Milky Way with the naked eye and all the planets and whatever I can see. This basically, New Zealand is a dark sky community, the entire island. So it makes sense to me that, and another thing is the food and the clean air. It's all a part of, and I've been preparing energetically and physically through these ascension periods and this expansion of my body that for movement to move to this place, which of course is what I'm being prepared to do. So all of that is happening. But what has happened since I recorded the last episode and since I had that energy in my body and then the subsequent exhaustion where I doubted that maybe I shouldn't have been talking about my foretold future, maybe that was a no-no, I'm getting my hand slapped somehow, which has happened before. Maybe I'll tell that story someday. But I, by the time I got home that evening and slept Sunday night, I woke up Monday morning and I felt this new energy. I felt, and it's hard to really over express this. The quality of my energy since I had my breakdown 3 years ago has, I would characterize as half of my energy that I used to experience or enjoy. And I wrote in an article called Soulmate, which is on my website. It's a free read if you want to read it, that I believe that my energy was ripped in half when I was pulled away from my karmic soulmate, who was my last husband. That we were so deeply entangled energetically that I had to literally be pulled out by my ear, which was a shutdown of my energy. And that ripping apart of our souls caused a lack in my body. That's how I described it. But I was also told, I keep saying told, but I was notified through the tarot, through all the messages that I listened to, that energy would be restored when I was in the company or the energy of my twin flame. And that not only would it be restored, but it would be exaggerated. I would experience an energy I've never experienced in this lifetime, in my 60s. So I feel this lack in my body all the time. And this was this was last Monday. I felt this new energy. And I went to my daughter's for the day. I spent the day with the baby, 6 hours. I watched her and helped my daughter and hung out with them all day. And by the time I got home in the late afternoon, I normally would go lie down and then I would take it easy the rest of the day. That's how I felt all the time. But I got home and I said, I feel like mowing the lawn. And I got out my mower And I mowed the entire lawn, which I almost never do. I usually do it in sections because it's exhausting and I only do a part. Then I go the next day, I do the other part, and I don't have that big of a yard, but I rarely do it all in one shot. But I did the whole thing and I thought to myself, wow, what was that? And I took a shower and I made dinner, and I just realized that by the end of the day, I still felt really good. And the whole next day, Tuesday, the same thing. I'm like, okay. And I had forgotten about how I felt about my doubt, and it just had left my body. I knew that wasn't a thing. It was very brief. It didn't stay, which tells me it's not a thing. So I went about my day. Tuesday, I spent the day with my girls and came home and did my thing and felt really good. And by Wednesday, I don't think I was with the girls on Monday, but anyway, Tuesday and Wednesday, I was with the girls. When I was with the girls on Wednesday, I started to feel something new. And I'm sitting on the couch and my daughter was home and the baby was playing, and I just felt a dizziness. And I didn't say anything because I was just really curious about what it was going to do. And I felt this really mild dizziness, and I'm thinking, okay, this is different. This is new. And I sat with it because I know it always passes. I don't have to ever worry. And I sat probably about 10, 15 minutes in this light dizziness where if I turned my head, it would almost like be a delayed reaction where my energy would come after and it would just cause a spinning. And if anyone has experienced vertigo, which I do experience, you know what I'm talking about. So I sat there and just kind of sat in it and just wondered where it was going to go. And after probably 20 minutes, it passed and it was gone. That evening, Wednesday evening, I sat on my couch after dinner and everything, and I noticed it back. And I wasn't moving around. I wasn't spinning or anything. It was just sitting on my couch. And I noticed, and I can feel it right now as I'm speaking, the feeling. It is a dizziness that just comes in like a wave, and it just wants me to know it's there. And it's just this very light feeling. Something else I noticed the day before, and that and on Wednesday, was I started to have a new feeling in my body. And one thing I've described over and over and over with the ascension is a feeling of static, or like a thunderstorm, a lightning storm going on under the surface in my body. And I've equated it to feeling like anxiety, which it is absolutely not. It is a energetic reaction to the frequency changes I'm going through. And I've documented these and spoken about them many times, but this was different. And I kept saying out loud to myself, this feels different. I said this, and I said out loud, finally, it feels like a shift. And as I said that, I had a realization, and I'm sitting on my couch in the evening last Wednesday, and I had a realization that what I was experiencing, and this is how Gina, the higher self, me, who I am, believe I am merging with right now, is how she works with me. She gives me a feeling that takes me to that helps me verbalize okay, let me start over again. She creates a feeling in my body that I have to describe. And when I get to the point where I'm able to describe it, I get an epiphany or a realization. So what happened was the feeling in my body, and it happened, it's probably about 12, 14 hours at that time. All day I was feeling it that evening, and I think late the day before, if I'm not mistaken, the feeling was a pulling of my energy. And I said out loud, I feel like this is a shift. And during my podcast episode, DNA Awakening and Co-Creation, I said it a couple of times. I feel like this is a thesis for my graduation of my spiritual awakening. And I didn't know what I was saying at the time, but I can only tell you that writing the article, doing the podcast episode last Saturday, felt like a graduation, like a culmination of everything I have learned over the last 3 years, everything. About my spirituality, about the cosmos, about living a life more empowered, which is what I'm doing with every episode and everything I write, which are the downloads that I receive as I sleep and everything I've discussed over this time period, the ascension and the expansion of my body. All of this is culminating in this one article, in this one podcast episode. And it felt like a graduation. I said that more than once. Well, as I sat on my couch and I said out loud, this feels like a shift, I knew what it was. It was a dimensional shift in my energy. And when you talk about dimensions, and I've learned a lot about them lately, and I discussed them in the last episode, about co-creation as only being possible if you are in a specific dimensional reality, or have you reached a dimension? My hearing just changed. I'm going to tell you what's happening in my body right now because it's so amazing. My hearing just shifted from one ear to the other. So I don't know what it means, but I'm just going to tell you about it. So I'm having this realization that I have shifted a dimension in my energy. And I'm remembering what I've just learned from the series on Gaia TV called Initiation, which I will quote as a source in the article, and also always tell you where I learn things, because when I learn something, it gives context to what I'm feeling. I'm not learning something that I know in my mind. I'm learning something that gives me the vocabulary to talk about what I'm going through. This is something that I've discovered, that when I'm watching TV or I pick something up that resonates with me, I'm not learning something with my intellect, my brain. I am learning something that is giving my brain the vocabulary to describe what I'm going through. And these, of course, are not accidental. It's not accidental exposure to this information. I'm led to watch these things. And the timing that I watch them is also part of the design of what I'm doing here. The feelings that I get in my body are my higher self saying, okay, Gina, it's time for you to have this realization. Here, I'm giving you this feeling. And it guides me to the realization, which guides me to a whole nother subject matter article or podcast, because I'm meant to share it real time as it's happening. So I am having this feeling that I call or identify as a dimensional shift, and this feeling of being pulled. I don't know how to describe it. It's like a pull on my energy. And I said to myself, oh my gosh, that's what just happened. And that's what the energetic surge in my body and the subsequent exhaustion and then the energy I had for 2 days and then the dizziness started. And the dizziness is a more refined symptom. And I can only describe the ascension or the dimensional shifts that I have gone through. And I don't know how many I've gone through. But if you take me from the third dimension to the eighth or ninth where co-creation is possible, I've probably gone through a few of them here. And I would describe the ascension or the dimensional shifts that I've gone through before as being dragged up a stairway by my leg, by my foot. And I was laughing as I thought of this analogy because it was so disruptive. I felt like my head was being banged against the wall the whole pull up the stairs. So yeah, you're ascending, but you're being dragged up a stairway. It's not like an angel who floats with her wings. So when I'm describing this feeling, this dimensional shift, it is more refined. So the dizziness, I feel like, is a less disruptive, although it's very noticeable, especially for me, a symptom of this dimensional shift. This energetic or physical impact on my body is causing this dizziness, which I've not experienced before, except for once, which I have to see how close to the full moon it was, during a rainstorm, which was near the full moon, between the full moon and the eclipse. And I have not researched this yet, but I have a feeling this eclipse that just happened was the energetic cycle, or brought in the energy on a cycle of photon and gamma ray, or what, however you want to describe it, that caused this energetic dimensional shift for me. And I have to look at the timing, but I believe that's what happened. When I learned about the eclipse, which was the weeks before it happened, it was through YouTube videos that would just pop up, unrelated, nobody I follow or subscribe to, that would describe what to expect. And when I was drawn to one of those, I would open it and listen to it. And what I learned was that this particular eclipse that we just had on April 4th, 2024, was particularly powerful for three of the zodiac signs. One was Aries, one was Capricorn, who is my daughter, and one was Libra, who is me. That these three signs were the most impacted by the energetic cycle that this eclipse brought into the earth plane. I have not researched this yet. I plan on doing it. It's a note in my notes for my article that I still have not finished because it keeps growing. And I believe the eclipse is what was the catalyst for this dimensional shift in for me, because I was told and taught that all the energy comes in cycles and that we experience them in waves, and that that's how we progress through our evolutionary cycle when we're in this form, is the energetic purges from the universe cause these cosmic events in our body. So I have to research that more, but I believe that the eclipse was the catalyst for this happening to me, that all of this happened. The epiphany about the co-creation that I had after the lottery event and everything I described in the last episode was all catalyzed by that eclipse. So I'm having this more refined symptom, which is dizziness. It's not being knocked up the stairs with my leg being dragged up the stairs, which is what it had felt like in the past. And I am realizing that this is a more refined adjustment to my energy. This is not me going from a lower dimension to a higher dimension. This is me going from a high dimension to a higher dimension. So it is a more refined transmutation, meaning the foundational quality or the foundational elements of this dimensional shift are already in my body. The heavy lifting is done. Now it's refining. And I made a comment in my last episode that I wrote about in the article, because I said, I don't think that I can do this. And what I was saying as I was talking about co-creation as being only capable or only an ability while you're in the higher dimensional realities, which I think are 8 or 9. I don't remember how it was described in the series I watched. And that I said, oh, I'm not saying I can do this. What I realized what was happening, and it's happened a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, is my brain did not yet understand what my soul was doing. And my soul was having this experience of co-creation, and my brain was not yet aware of it. Because what I realize now is that I am absolutely co-creating, and I don't know what dimensional reality I'm in. I'm not a technical expert on this. I'm just reporting my experience that everything that I have gone through has told me that this is what's happened. This is a dimensional shift, that everything I've been prepared for or conditioned for this new reality has what I'm going through in the void that I described as this dormant period of my life where I'm outwardly completely isolated. I mean, my life here in this world that I live in my current reality, has really been reduced to a pinpoint of only my close family. I have no life here otherwise. And I always wondered, when is that life going to start again? I'm still in this dormant period. I don't have anything going on at all. I don't really have friendships. I don't have hobbies. I don't go places. I really don't do anything but spend time with my very close family. And I always expected that to change when this dormant period was over, but I see now that's not what's meant to happen. What's meant to happen is I'm meant to leave this place and enter a new reality. And the whole purpose of co-creation, and I discussed this without knowing what I was saying, and this is so fantastic. When I think about, even when I write and I look at what I wrote, I'm like, what do you mean? I wrote early on in my article that I am witnessing the resurrection of the goddess in myself. And when I went back and read it, I'm like, why did you say that? My brain was like, what are you talking about? You're no goddess. What are you saying? But I realized what is happening, that I'm writing about myself, the resurrection of my own goddess energy. That's what's happening. And I don't have to be shy about it because I'm meant to talk about it. So me being shy about it is allowing my ego to control what I say because I'm worried how it's going to be perceived. My brain didn't conceive of yet what was happening because my soul was speaking. When I've talked about co-creation and how you have to be in the higher dimensional realms in order to be able to connect with the ethereal channel of source energy, of source consciousness, and to create a frequency in your body, which I've been conditioned to do throughout all of my learning in the last 3 years, of love and of the highest expectations and the highest blessings. And this is why I've been shown everything that I'm due to experience in this world, which is true love, material abundance, and absolute freedom, which are the things and highest purpose, which are all I think about. I don't think of an outcome or a specific manifestation of it. It's all open-ended because I've been shown exactly what it is. So I don't wish for anything. All I do is emanate through my daydreaming and through the unconditional love that is the default mechanism in my energy, my energetic signature. And what it does is, through the co-creational process, it calls out to the universe on a frequency that the universe responds in kind and pulls back through manifestation those elements that you're calling for. And they start to manifest in your world. And I said this before, through chance encounters, through opportunities out of nowhere, and through good fortune. And I'm saying all this, and I know what I'm saying is true, but I'm not connecting it to myself. I'm reporting what I'm observing, which is a position that I've learned to take here as an experiential transducer. And I've changed my title, so those of you who are paying attention. Experiential physicist just sounded too technical. And I didn't want to take away from the physics because it's a very important field. So I've landed on a new term. If I need to describe myself, I refer to myself as an experiential transducer, because that is technically what I'm doing. Through my experiences, which I'm given information through these downloads, and then I'm given the context through an experience or a process that I'm taken through. And then I speak about that energetic download in words, a story that I can tell, which transduces it out into the world. So that is what I've landed on as the way to describe what I do, is I'm an experiential transducer. So knowing that I'm experiencing my life as an observer, it's easy to disconnect from what is actually happening to me, the human. So I had to come to I had to have that reality check, and my soul made sure I did. She gave me this feeling that I was having a shift, and I said out loud, this is a dimensional shift, and then I realized what had happened. That I experienced a new dimensional shift in my energetic body, which is what it's doing, and I had another realization the next morning. So that was Wednesday, as I was sitting in my chair. Oh, I'm sorry, Wednesday night I had that realization. Thursday morning, which was just a few days ago, I'm sitting in my chair again having my tea, which I do most mornings if I'm not going to my daughter's, and I was not thinking about anything, and I had another realization. I was thinking about the energy in my body. I was thinking about how it feels like it's being pulled, and I kept trying to articulate this. What does this mean? How can I describe this feeling? I already realized I'm having a dimensional shift. What else could I possibly realize? And I started to try to, it was really awkward at first. I'm like, it feels like I'm being pulled, but it's not really being pulled. It's not like it was before. And I couldn't articulate it. And then in a moment, it came to me. It felt like my energy was being pulled out of my body. And I said it out loud. I said, my energy is being pulled out of my body. And then I sat up in my chair and I said, oh, I get it. This is so amazing when this happens, and it's happened so many times to me, where I have an epiphany. And this is my soul saying, Gina, it's time for you to have this realization, because we're moving along this track now. And what has happened, and what I realized in that moment when I said, oh, I get it, and I started to laugh out loud, what is happening is my soul, this dimensional shift has aligned my soul or my energetic body to the gravitational pull of the new reality of my destined future. Let me say that again. This dimensional shift in my energy has turned my energetic body into the track or the energetic frequency through a portal that is now open with this dimension, or a train, or however you want to, a channel that is basically reaching out and taking the energy from my body, my soul's energy, my energetic body, and dragging it out in a gravitational pull towards its resonant match. So if you imagine a hand coming from the universe and one out of my body, they're reaching for each other is what it feels like. And this hand is from the universe is pulling my energetic body out of my physical body and into this new reality, this resonant frequency match that I've described over and over without really understanding why. I wrote an article called Resonation. This has been such a prominent feature in my mind because this is the mechanism. It's the frequency of our vibration. We are frequency. Everything is frequency. This body is not a physical thing. It is a molecular structure. And if you look in a microscope at molecules, there's space between them. Physical reality is an illusion. We are all just different densities of molecular structures. If I was the same density as a rock, and I think I've said this before, I could put my hand right through a rock. But I'm of a different frequency, so I can't do that. I can put my hand through air and water because their frequency structure, molecular structure, is less dense. So as I become less dense, my body, I am more attuned to these higher frequency elements. And I know that I can feel my body, my energetic body, being pulled out of my physical body. I can feel it. It is a sensation in my body. And I knew that that's what this was. So now I have this whole other thing to write about. So this article that was done last Monday is not even half done. I fervently wrote another 6 pages, and there's still more coming. I have three more pages of notes. So I have this realization that I am being pulled energetically by the gravitational pull or the frequency resonation of this future destiny of mine. Now, I don't know that of the timing. I could be ignorant and say, oh, it means it's coming right around the corner. I have no idea. Divine timing and linear time have no relationship at all. Everything in the divine realm has already happened and is happening at the same time. So there's no way to put that on a timeline. That's just a human construct, is time. But what I can tell you is that this feeling of my energetic body being pulled out of my physical body and my physical body losing its density is that this alignment has taken place. And whether it happens in a day or a month or a year, I have no idea, but this has definitely changed. And I don't need validation. I don't need to ask my soul team, is this what happened? I know it as well as I know anything. And I can still feel it in my body right now. And it doesn't stay all the time. It was a feeling that I was meant to acknowledge and identify so I could have the epiphany and then understand where I am and I could talk to you about it. This is what my purpose is right now. Now, the larger part of my purpose is to take place with my twin flame. And I've not really talked about this either, but I do talk about it a little bit in the extended article that I'm writing, is that I have been conditioned, and I talked about the love notes that I've gotten over the last 4 months now, and how it's really made me think about this relationship and what is happening. And I said this in the last episode, I don't feel like they're just love notes. They are helping my energy, my heart, and my mind become conditioned for this new reality. So when I'm talking about co-creation and not manifestation, manifestation is calling elements into your life. Co-creation is changing your reality. And you have to understand, I'm watching these messages, and most of them are social media messages, and they're long, and they are talking about a relationship with two higher frequency beings. How an evolved man looks for an evolved woman, a woman, and how the two of them together evolve each other. How we will have the effect to ascend each other in a way that cannot be done on our own because we are energetic matches. We are the same soul coming back together. How the heart connection is going to create an entirely new reality for what a partnership, a love partnership, is. And it's described in detail. And what effect it's had on my body and my psyche and my mind and heart is to create a new reality of what love is going to be in these higher frequencies with an evolved man. You have to understand, all I had to go by is what I've experienced. And by design, I've experienced the most devastating love that I could imagine. Through being with a, and again, I don't, I'm not villainizing my ex-husband. I, he played a role in my life that was critical. And I cherish him for that. And I don't want to villainize him. He is a wonderful soul. But his vacancy of emotion and his need to drain me energetically taught me what love is from the very worst perspective. And every experience I've had with love, and I won't include my first husband because that was, I believe, a respite from my karmic life. And we loved each other as best we could. We were best friends. I mean, mostly. We loved each other enough to get us into this relationship and this marriage that produced my beautiful daughter, who was meant to come into the world through the two of us. And a soulmate who is another family member, we made sure we got together, who is also with us right now. I'm aware of his existence in our soul family. All of this was part of the design of my life, was to suffer or experience the worst kind of love possible. Love that requires compliance and the shrinking of my who I could have been, of my potential. And having a relationship where sex was a chore. And I've talked about my sexual awakening and the sexual abuse I experienced with my father and other people in my life. I've talked about that. And the reason is because I was meant to experience that so I could understand the karma that I brought into this world, and I could overcome it. And that was the whole purpose of that, the darkness phase of my life. But you have to understand, during that phase, I learned what love is, and it's not pretty. I learned what sex is, and it's painful, and it's degrading, and it's abusive. That was my experience with love and sex. So in order for me to be conditioned for this new reality, I've had to go through all of these energetic and emotional changes. And what's happening now, and I believe in this refined stage of my dimensional evolution here, is these messages that have been permeating my body since the beginning of the year. And I have a folder in my inbox where I'm keeping all of these messages. And I always keep saying to myself, what are you going to do with these? I don't know. I'm just keeping them. Where I'm accumulating all these messages, I'm sharing them with myself and saving them in a folder called Messages I'm Receiving Since the End of 2023. I didn't know why I was saving. I still don't, I'm not sure, but I understand the purpose of them now. They're not just love notes. They are reconditioning my expectations. They are having the effect of changing my reality in order to prepare me for this co-creative moment where my entire reality is going to change and where I have to be prepared to come into union with a man who is evolved, who is, both of us are meant to evolve to a point where when we come together, we don't run scared from each other. We don't hide who we are and become the people we were in our lower iterations of ourselves. We have to shed all of that in order to be who we are, who we need to be for each other. And there is still healing that is going to take place. I've been told this over and over, that I will activate his faults and insecurities and he will activate mine. And of course, I know my biggest one is going to be my sexuality. I have never been in a love relationship where I felt safe sexually. And it's no one else's fault. This is what I was meant to experience. And sex to me always was something I felt like I needed to do to comply with what was expected of me. I've never been able to enjoy sex the way that I know that it's meant to be enjoyed, and how I've alluded to and talked about. I did an episode called Sexuality very early on in my podcast career, which is almost 2 years old, about sexuality. I wrote an article about it because I knew what I'd been experiencing was not how it's meant to be experienced. And I describe it as the worshiping of the orgasm, that we are not meant to worship the orgasm, that sexuality and sex is meant to be transcending. And I didn't even know what I was talking about, but now I have a better understanding that if there isn't an intimate bond between two like frequencies, and this is so important, if we were not on the same vibrational frequency, this would not happen, first of all. And if we met each other, it would not work, because I would still be in a place where I couldn't relate to him and vice versa. So now we were both created the same frequency in our bodies. We can come together, but the healing is still needs to take place. And we are meant to do whatever's left together. And that's how we ascend each other. But sexuality is meant to be transcendent. It is meant to be an expression of intimacy. And what it is now, and honestly, what I've learned is this has been, oh my gosh, this is going to sound so weird, but sex has been distorted in this toxic way for a reason to help to keep people worshiping it like a gold-plated god. I'm watching a reality show on TV. Of course, I'm like, why am I watching these reality shows? But I know why, because they are examples of the expression of everything I want to talk about. This reality show is about young couples who are going into the time of their lives where they're having babies. And they are realizing that sex is faded. And because sex is faded, their mind tells them the love is gone. So they are struggling to stay together. And this is the plague that the worshiping of the orgasm has caused throughout humanity, is we don't see sex as an expression of intimacy. We see it as a way to feel pleasure. And we pride ourselves on our ability to give an orgasm to our partner. I'll do these things to make you feel good physically and feed your ego. And the misguidance that sex is a litmus test for our love. Sex should be an expression of the most intimate connection that two souls on the same frequency can share. And it may not be genital driven. I'm reading a book, which of course I was drawn to read, of course there's always a reason, called Tantric Sex. And it's teaching me about sexuality from a place of mental and emotional intimacy. And the polarities of men and women, and how the body has to be touched in order for a woman to become aroused, not just with the genitals, but with the heart and the soul. There's so much to it that we don't understand because we're so driven by the orgasm and friction as a way to get there. And this is why, without knowing, I denounced sex early on in my awakening, because I knew I didn't want to experience it the way I had before. It was degrading. It was demoralizing. It was, I felt like less of myself. And again, no one else's fault. This was meant to be my experience. So when I started to get these messages of love and what sex was going to feel like, and sex is not described as bumping and grinding, it is sex of the soul. It is making love to each other's souls. And I'll describe one to you recently, how that two people came together, and the woman said to the man, "What do you want to do?" And he said, "Amour." And she started to take her clothes off, and he said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Well, you want to have sex?" And he said, no, let's just talk. I want to gaze in your eyes. I want to know who you are. Tell me everything. And if this intimate interaction ends in a kiss, then let it be. But the focus, this is so beautiful. The focus was not on the physical coming together of bodies to create friction and then an orgasm. And how empty do you feel after an orgasm? You roll over, you don't know what to say to each other, you might swoon for a minute, but then the lust is gone and the connection disappears. The type of sex or sexuality I'm talking about, that energy never dissipates. That's soul love. That's soul sexuality. That is two similar frequency beings coming together at a soul level. That is the sexuality that I am being conditioned to expect, and where I can be 100% myself, and where I do have healing to do. But I'm being shown that this is the relationship I'm going to be in. And I'm sure there are elements in his body or mind or heart that need healing that I will be a mirror for, that come up in his body that he will need to heal, and I will be there to help him. This is the purpose of our energetic connection, is this elevation or escalation of our energetic frequency as a couple. And of course, I'm the spiritualist, he's the materialist, so we have these opposing experiences in the world that are coming together to create this incredible couple. But the biggest part of our, one of the biggest, one of the bigger parts of our mission together is the coming together of our energy and the brilliance that that will create, and the energetic brilliance that that will create in the world. Another part of it is what we will do together. And this has been described in the tarot over and over as a free will time in our partnership, that we will be given tools and possibly ideas, cosmic ideas, to help the earth. And what I was told specifically is the water source, and I don't know how that will emerge, that we will be given an idea that will help the water source, and that we will cultivate that idea, and we were, are given free will to do that. And the reason why I'm saying that specifically is these other elements are destined elements or fated elements in our lives. So this is a time where when we are together, we will have our free will to choose what we want to do in the world. And I don't know yet what that's going to be. And I don't know how it's connected to what I already know. I don't know anything about that. But that, if I'm going to divulge what I'm divulging, I might as well divulge that. And there's something else I realized as I was writing this article yesterday, which is just about done. I'm just really refining it right now. Was not only that I am the resurrection of the goddess, that this is what's happening to me. I am not just Gina having this experience. I am an energetic being in a human body who has evolved to this time or this dimensional reality where I can co-create my entire reality. I am the resurrection of the goddess. Something that my soul wanted to learn in this lifetime. And it's been prevalent in all of the things that I've learned about myself through human design, through the gene keys, through the tarot. Is my soul, and I've said this before, wanted to learn trust and faith in the universe, that she wanted to be in this earthly form and disconnected from her ethereal self, completely erased who she is, and wanted to find that connection again, and then trust that was meant, what was meant for her would come to her. So this, of course, exercise was given to me to experience in the world, in this human body. I am meant to have faith and trust because that's what my soul wants. And I can look back to 2 years ago in June, which is almost 2 years ago, when I had an experience in the tarot that crushed me, where I was a year out of my relationship with my ex-husband, which was devastating. And I felt like I was getting to the point where I'm ready maybe to meet somebody new. I kind of knew I wasn't ready, but I'm like, oh, maybe I am, because this soulmate is talked about so often. Maybe he'll come in soon. And I got a message in the tarot that basically said, he's not ready, that he's a human being who has to go through his transmutation as well. He's not ready. He's not coming anytime soon. And I remember feeling in my body this disappointment start to grow. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to feel disappointed. Oh no. And after the reading, I went into my spare bedroom with no sheets on it. And I laid on the bed and I cried. I'm like, what are you crying about? I just was laughing. I said, what are you crying about? But I realized that I was desperate or in need of that relationship to feel better. And this is when we go into relationships, when we feel lack, when we feel a void, when we feel like we're not enough. And what I was meant to learn over the last 2 years was not only am I enough, but my solitude has become sacred. And I've talked about this before. It has become sacred. It's a luxury that I experience. And I remember a message that was prevalent in the readings that said, be careful what you wish for. Don't wish away the solitude because you're going to miss it. So whenever I start to think, oh, I'm ready for this future to happen, I realize, wait a minute, don't wish this away. Because what you're wishing away is this sacred solitude, which I've come to cherish, and the time with my daughters, which is an encapsulated amount of time that's been described as 2 years, and I don't know how long it actually will be, that I get to spend with my girls as a source of support, as a source of connection and integration and guidance and love. And that is a time period I'm in right now, and I do not want to wish that away. So I'm in no hurry for this to happen, and I feel this peace and stillness in my body, in my own body, that although this relationship is so promising, I don't feel any need or draw. It's funny because I don't even feel desire. What I feel is a destiny that I think has replaced that. I'm not really sure how to describe that, but I don't even really feel desire. It's just a knowing in my body that when this time comes, it'll come. And I will be turned on my head upside down as it's been described. And I will fall deeply into this relationship because I can trust it. I don't have to doubt it. I have over 100, probably 200 messages that I cataloged where this was repeated over and over again. And of course, that was all conditioning. And as the energetic mutation was happening through these, the ascension and the expansion of my body, this mental and emotional conditioning was taking place with all these messages. This is part of my purpose, was to condition myself for this next phase of my mission, of my journey. And this next phase includes my twin flame and a move across the world and material abundance and many other things that I can describe, but I'd be here all day. So this conditioning has not just been the mutation of my energy, which has affected my physical molecular structure and every system in my body, which my body is more efficient now than it's ever been. I can't really describe that except for to say, and this is going to sound weird, excuse me, but I'm regular now, where I never in my life have ever remember being regular. And this is just happening now. And in the last week since I've had this energetic feeling of this dimensional shift is when I'm having these other sensations happening. I become regular all of a sudden, which again has never happened. This is my body becoming more efficient because any waste in my body cannot be tolerated. Emotional, physical, mental, food. My water intake, I only drink water except for my tea, and I drink mud water every 3 days because it's a mushroom blend with spices that is incredible. And another thing I've learned is about mushrooms and about the fungus in the world, and that's a whole nother podcast. But anyway, on a whole nother episode. But when I was standing in my kitchen after going to dinner Thursday night, which I do once a week with my sister, I had the most safe meal I could imagine. I had a salad with roasted potatoes on it, which I've had many times before. But when I got home from dinner, I stood in my kitchen and I noticed I was having digestional pains. I'm like, what is this? I've never experienced this before. And I looked down at my stomach, which is becomes incredibly lean over the last few years. I mean, so lean that I can put my hands on my waist and I can feel almost, it's as lean as I've been since I've been in my 20s. I noticed my stomach was all distended, and I knew that this was an experience I was meant to have to make me realize that food is becoming more and more important, the quality of the food that I eat. Even though I ate something that seemed like the safest thing on the menu, it who knows what the potatoes were marinated or cooked in? Who knows how the person was feeling who created my meal? Who knows how the vegetables were sourced? And I'm meant to understand the quality that is required to go in and around my body. The frequency that I am in is important more now than ever. And this is my environment and why my environment has to change. The climate, the clean air, the desire to be under the stars, the desire to live on the coast, which is this is an island in the middle of nowhere. The desire to be in a less populated place. New Zealand is one of the least populated countries in the world. So all of this has come together in one point of light that has expanded and enveloped my whole body, my whole being, my whole reality. And I can tell you this without doubt, is I'm sitting here looking at my old reality with these eyeballs. And I'm sitting in my old chair in my old house, but my soul is not here anymore. And my body, as light as the molecular structure is coming, is too dense to travel on the same wavelength that my soul can go to this new reality. She is an energetic being. She is already there. She probably goes back and forth all the time. She's already with John. She's already living in this home. She's already living this new reality. And it is only a matter of time before the physical body, which is too dense to travel that frequency, is led there by way of serendipity, which is chance encounters, opportunities out of nowhere, and good fortune. So that's my story. That is my extension of the last story, is that I have become aware that I have experienced a higher dimensional shift that has aligned me to my destined future. And my soul now travels freely back and forth on this frequency of energy, which has created a channel between this physical body and this earthly realm and that ethereal bridge that takes us to this new reality in a different place, with a different person, in a different reality that I've been conditioned to experience throughout the last 3 years. So yes, this is a culmination of everything I have learned in the last 3 years. Yes, this is a graduation of my spiritual awakening. Like I said, that I didn't know when I was saying that I said it because my soul knew what she was saying when she said it, but my mind was not there yet. There's a lag, there's a delay. It's getting shorter, but it's still there. I am the resurrected goddess. And I'm not saying that to be conceited. I'm saying that to report to you what has happened to me. And this is what's possible when we follow this journey of our energy, when we trust our body to tell us who we are and where we're going, when this intuitive channel becomes our brain. And I went from, and picture an evolutionary chart where there, and I know this evolutionary chart has nothing to do with actual reality, another subject matter. But if you picture a monkey at the left side and an evolved human at the right, and all the iterations of the evolutionary cycle of man, I started as that monkey in this lifetime. I was the low vibrational dark lady who had to go through the worst haunted forest I could possibly conjure. But I was led through it by my own body, by my own self, without anyone else's help. I didn't need someone to love me. I didn't need someone to guide me. I didn't need someone to tell me what to do. This was all me, and I just had to realize that. My onboard navigation was all I ever needed. I just didn't know it. But when I reached out for a solution, all I got was more reflected back at me. More pain, more disillusionment, more confusion. That's the lesson. Until we learn to trust ourselves and to start to take care of ourselves, and I don't want to sound like a... I'll stop. But I started as that monkey, and I'm ending this goddess. And I don't know where it's going to take me next, and I will continue to talk about it if that's meant to be. But I just wanted to share this another incredible story with you. And there is an article that is just about done, and it does contain a lot more detail, and it's called Awakening of the Goddess. It's just incredible how much has come together, how much has come to light, and how clear this picture is. I was saying that my soul wanted to learn to have faith and to trust that is what is meant for her will come to her. And of course, I'm having that experience for her in this world. And I realized as I was documenting all these things and talking about all these foretold events and laying it all out there for everyone to see, that it was really the most courageous act of faith that I could think of. That this is a testament to her desire to become faithful and to have trust in the universe and to show her that she has achieved that in this lifetime. That as I lay all this out for everyone to know and to hear, that I am laying myself out and It is a true testament to the faith that I feel and the trust in the universe that what is meant for me will come to me. So I wanted to end with that. And I thank you so much for listening as always. Until next time.